I work with the system of action at the University of Kentucky. I'm the resident statistician, and I provide support for a lot of projects that we have that are funded by the Wilbur Wood Foundation. Behind this study, there is a team, all our research team, that we usually meet on Monday morning and talk about the topic. And one of the ideas that we have is come up with a study that will be a follow-up of a study done by our director, Dr. Glenn Mays, that he come up with a typology of the public health system. And he published the article in 2011, and he classifies the public health system as comprehensive, conventional, and limited. Then we take in this classification that was done in a cross-sectional matters, and we add in a longitudinal component to it. We are interested how public health system capital are changing over time. Probably I should define what I'm saying by saying public health system capital is no more than our local health department, but it's not them or the activities that they are implementing, but it's also the network of all the multi-sector organizations that contributing to the activities. It's like a system, the network. We interested all the network that is behind the work done by the local health department. That's why we call public health system. I mentioned we are interested to see the trajectory of the public health system. How are they changing over time? Is there an overall trend to a comprehensive system? Or are there overachievers that are comprehensive over time? They were comprehensive at the beginning and say comprehensive over all the wave of the survey that we have? Or are there one that is decreasing, like going from comprehensive to conventional or to limited? We're trying to understand what are the individual trajectory. Is there a way we can classify the trajectory? Then, what we'll be using to do that is we will use sequence analysis. That is a way for us to describe and compare these trajectories, and we will be able to classify these trajectories. And this analysis will be more like descriptive. I will show you what are the patterns they are following, what kind of classification we will end up with. But there is a more sophisticated model that will be a fixed logic model that we will run in the full sample we have in the survey, so that we can estimate which community variable or institutional variable are associated with the probability of being a comprehensive system. We have in the center, we have the survey that is the National Longitudinal Survey of Public Health System. It's a survey of the 360 LHD, Local Health Department. And the survey was carried out from 1998, 2006, 2012, 2014. We include the rural community to the sample, and also in 2016. Then we have five ways of data that allow us to see how the public health system are changing over time. Because the sample in 1998, 2006, and 2012 did not include the rural sample, then we are interested only in the large community so that we can see the longitudinal aspect of the data. What the survey is about is we send to the local LHD and we ask the public health officer to report and if like 20 recommended population health activities available in the community. We also ask them to report which organizations are contributing to each activities. From this, we can characterize the network in calculating the network density, the network centrality. When we get the data, we merge it, we link it with other resource data that are available so that we can get community characteristic. One of the things is the area health resource file, where we get all the community characteristics, insurance rate, unemployment rate, person with college degree, that we can get that from a source that is external from our survey that complement our study. And also the second one we use a lot is a nature profile data, where we can get the institutional and financial characteristics of each of the local LHD and merge them to the data. And that gives us more possibility, more analysis that we can do. These two will be used in the study. Variable from these two will be in the study. We also merge it with the other one, but they're not part of this study. This is the question, the activities that we actually send to each local health department. We ask them to report in these activities. And you can see we classify these activities into main categories: assessment, policy and planning, and assurance. At the bottom, we can see at the bottom there is a 12%, like 13% increase in all the activities from 1998 to 2016. But we can see where we have the largest increase are in the assurance and policy and planning activities, and where we have the largest decrease are in the assurance component. The report this, I remember, the report these activities and all the network of organizations that contributing to these activities. These are the list of the 15 organizations that we ask them if they are contributing or not to the activities. Most of the largest contribution come from the local organization, like the local public health agency, hospital, school, university. There is some participation of the state agency and the federal agency. From these, the activities in the network, then we created this classification, this typology, the one that are comprehensive, conventional, and limited. They are comprehensive if they offer more than 75% of the activities and have a dense network of organizations contributing to them. They are conventional if they have a moderate scope of activities. They are between 50 and 75% of the activities, of the 20 activities, and they have a low network density. Same if they have less than 50% of the activities and they have a low network density, they are considered as limited. Here's the classification over time. The good news is there is an overall trend to a comprehensive. That means they're offering a broader scope of activities, and there are a wide range of organizations that is involved in these activities, a good network, a dense network. We have some have been increasing over time. We have this happen in 2012. We probably think it's an effect of the economic crisis. There is a decline in 2012, and then we pick up again in 2014 and 2016. The percentage that are comprehensive. Now we go into the sequence analysis. How can we see? We have the overall trend, but what about the individual trajectory? What's happening to them? The data in statistics that will be a growth curve model if we have continuous variable. We don't have continuous variable, it's a category. We have three categories that become a time series with category variable. Then we need to use other techniques to describe it and analyze it. One of them is sequence analysis that will allow us to analyze, classify this individual trajectory. If there is similar pattern between them, we're looking at each trajectory of them and identify if there is similar pattern, can we cluster this pattern. Then for this, when I'm running the sequence analysis, we have to reduce our sample only to the community that have full information. We cannot have gap, we cannot have missing value. Then the sample went from 360 to 143 community. We can see it's still the overall pattern. Most of them are comprehensive. If you look by the blue shade, most of them are comprehensive. And we have identified 27 specific sequence trajectories of them. Some of them might be, they remain comprehensive between the three period. I forgot to mention, we only analyzed the last three wave, 2012, 2014, and 2016. The first one, CP, 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 means they remain comprehensive for the three wave. The second example is they were limited, they moved to conventional, and also they moved to comprehensive. Those are or example of the sequence of the trajectory. Then we classify the trajectories. We end up with six class. One we consider that as stable comprehensive. That means they remain comprehensive over the three waves. We have the one that are stable conventional, that number four. They remain conventional over the three wave. And we have the limited, that they remain limited over the three wave. But we have some of them that are increasing to comprehensive or increasing to conventional, still a movement upward. But we have a small group, that number three, that are decreasing to conventional.
The system won't record you if you're not talking to the mic.
Yes. Then, we can see the overall trend that I was talking about. Most of them are increasing. Like on the 143 communities, we have 21 that are stable comprehensive. We have 48 that are increasing to comprehensive. And we have 12 that are increasing to conventional. We still have the movement forward, but we have few communities, 12 of them, that are decreasing. That is interesting. This group that are stable comprehensive are really interesting. They are the overachiever. There's need for qualitative work so that we can know why they remain overachiever, what are they doing that make them so special. Then, if you crosswalk the pattern, the pathway, with some of the community characteristics, we found that the entrance rate will be lower if you are stable comprehensive, or if you are increasing to comprehensive, you are lower on entrance rate than the other pathway that we're looking at. Then we run the fixed logic model. Our dependent variable now is only those that are classified as comprehensive. We want to know why they are different from the other one, what variable might explain the probability for being in these categories. The red line indicates the 0 point. If the 0 point did not cross the confidence interval, that means the variable is significant. Then again, we can see that an entry rate as a significant negative relationship with the probability of being classified as comprehensive. then the percentage of non-white has a positive relationship. Some of the conclusion is of the studies, we still see the overall trend to a comprehensive, that is really a good news. Most of them are increasing to comprehensive or even increasing to conventional. I mentioned before the idea of the qualitative study to know why some of them are stable comprehensive public health system. We cannot do that with our data, but that will be some kind of take a closer look at them, take a closer look at the network, the kind of partnership that they have, and see what lesson we can learn and share with the other LHD in terms of improving the network. Then, this is the negative relationship I was talking about, the comprehensive system capital and the initial rate. I'm almost done, only the limitation. Some of the study, the part of the study used only 143 communities, a subsample of the sample. We are about to run the fifth wave of the survey that will give them more data. We expect to get more stable results. And also we do have the same limitation, that is a self-reported study, and we don't have data and quality of the service that they are provided. We only ask them if they are provided or not. We don't know the quality of the service. Yeah, these are my contact information. Any question?
Any idea whether or not the fact that more systems are moving more toward comprehensive,
yes,
this lead to healthcare reform?
Can you repeat the question? I'm not remembering.
The question is if the idea of them moving toward a comprehensive system is linked to the healthcare reform. I have to say yes, because that if within the reform there were like incentive for them to work in partnership, then because what we're trying to do is see the network of partnership with various organizations in the community, and those incentives are in place for people, but we know they are in place in paper, but we don't know if they actually been implemented in that. But we're seeing more and more multi-sector participation and more that the network are becoming more and more dense, and that's why they're moving to a comprehensive system.
I have a question about your, you were showing your essential services where you were measuring the percentages, and then you had one that was in your policy.
Yes.
And do you have any idea why you would have decreases in the, I guess, community stakeholders? I believe that's what the one was, that
yes,
you had the decrease in.
Yeah. I show a table where I was showing the percentage of the participation, the contribution of each of the organization and the activities provided by the local health department. The question is why there is decrease. Overall, I will say it's still effect. I will say still effect of the economic crisis. And the data, when we saw in 2012, we saw a decrease in all of the indicators, and the data are picking up later on. It's a financial issue in terms of the not that many resources available after the crisis, so that to restore it at the level that we had before.
Yeah, I'm curious about those activities. So those are local public health activities that you listed. Is that based on I'm just wondering how those activities were identified and scoped. Did they relate to the MPH
student can help me out. I understand. I'm a statistician. I'm not there. The question is how the activities were selected. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Things I remember we talk, and I'm a statistician. I do the number. The things I remember in our meeting where people were talking about it is a set of activities that are, I don't know if they are established by the CDC, that or each of LHD have to perform these activities. They are set of recommended activities like MPA students should know about them. Yeah. Yeah, they said non everybody know about it. If you are an MPH, these activities are.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Global questions at this point. Any remaining things that anyone wanted to ask? Well, you earn a few minutes back to your day, but I think our presenters did a fantastic job. Yes, deserve another round of applause.